Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Week in League, the Brisbane Broncos show more fight on Mad Monday than they did throughout the regular season.
With a first-round finals loss, the Panthers' premiership window is starting to look like all the other windows in Mount Druitt.
Blake Ferguson looks to dip his fingers in the rugby pie after all of rugby league's orifices were clenched shut.
Plus, we look ahead to all the action for Week 2 of the 2021 NRL Finals.
All that and more This Week in League. Welcome to episode 434 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I am Glenn.
How you going, fellas?
Fantastic.
Good, good.
100% better.
Fully vaccinated.
Are you fully vaxxed?
Fully vaxxed as of this morning.
Well done.
The second fizzy.
My arm is proper fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't find that. Did you find when you got the second one, like with the first one, I didn't even feel the injection itself, like nothing.
No,
like,
and both felt, the old duck. She's got a technique where she sort of massages your arm and I didn't even feel the needle go in, and I'm fucking sook for needles.
But, yeah, right. First one I didn't feel. It's a different person.
So she was there massaging your arm.
Yeah,
she was massaged my arm as she put the needle in and with one hand and jerking me off with the other. Like, this woman, I tell you what, she had full use of all her appendages.
In Toowoomba, a three-arm barrel.
I was going to say it sounds like a Wayne Bennett courtship fucking story, doesn't it?
Only I was 20 years too young for her, but anyway.
Yeah, wow.
That's good. You'll be a bit tired over the next couple of days.
I'm proper fucked at the moment, but I've been I was pretty tired in the lead up, and over the course of the day, I've got a cracker of a headache too, both times.
Yeah, no, I didn't get the headaches.
Within 45 minutes.
Isn't it funny? Right. We had Mrs. Stepdad got hers, and the first one she got a couple of days after, she was like a walking zombie.
That's what I had the second
at
time.
At night time, right? And that happened one night. And so I was concerned because I'd heard your experience, Nate. Mm. And she got her second one, right as rain, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, so like, it sounds like
no ill effects at all.
So. Yeah, so it sounds like we were the opposite because like the first time I had no problem at all. Second time was a zombie.
But do you know what it's better than, being a zombie?
Being dead.
Fucking, yeah, dying, gasping for air.
Dying, intubated, and yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we're not, you know, obviously, we're all fucking sorted, the three of us, so do what you want. I don't give a fuck. It ain't going to affect me. Make your own choices, you fucking YouTube geniuses. Now, in the news, obviously, like we do in Origin and other times, we kind of get a bit, the media gets infatuated with individual stories and puff pieces and things like that about some of the various protagonists in the games on the weekend ahead. But one story did happen, and it's another low point for the Broncos, just after they looked like they were getting a little bit of positive and, you know, upward momentum at the end of the season. But Thomas Flegler and Jordan Riki had a bust up on Mad Monday, and they have resulted in the Broncos bosses reading them the riot act. And apparently, in the aftermath of their defeat of Newcastle last Saturday week, there was a playful wrestling session between the pair. Took a wrong turn. Flegler took exception to some of the heavy contact from Riki, and Riki was left bloodied and requiring stitches. So the Broncos hierarchy aren't really commenting about it, but from what I can see is they've sort of copped the riot act on the cultural standards expected at the club. And I think they're satisfied that they've kissed and made up and apologized adequately to the point that no further action is going to be taken.
Yep.
But
look, I'll tell you what, if you've never had a playful wrestling session that's ended up with parts of you bloodied and in need of stitches, you haven't fucking lived.
That's you and Daddy Day.
Welcome to Toowoomba.
Welcome to Toowoomba. That's how you sort out the boys, and that's how you sort out the boys from the future Broncos halfbacks, isn't it, Glennie?
What do you mean? You mean that's not what happens to you guys every time you pay for fuel?
It's how we pay for our loosen up here in Toowoomba. It's how we sort the future Broncos second rowers out, apparently.
Yep. I don't really have a lot more to say about that, but I think I just thought it was funny. And hashtag fuck the Broncos is always a great way to start an episode off.
Hashtag leave the Broncos bloodied and in need of stitches.
Yes. And, from rounds 1 through 25, knock yourself out. Now, fuck it. Good news story. We don't have good news stories that often, but Manly, there was a story I saw the other probably about 3 or 4 days ago saying that they were getting this $5 million sponsorship deal, and it was one of the richest deals that we'd seen. Just NRL clubs had seen in terms of sponsorship, and I thought it was just probably a continuation or an upgrading of the current URM deal. But it's been revealed today that they have signed a deal with PointsBet, and so with PointsBet, it's a $5 million deal, I think, over a number of years, and there's incentives if they win a premiership or whatever. There's like $2 million worth of bonus incentives as well. As part of the agreement, some of the world's biggest sports stars will endorse the Sea Eagles to their combined 76 million followers on social media. So plans are underway for sporting icons such as Shaquille O'Neal, Drew Brees, Paige Spinnerack, and Allen Iverson to be involved in promoting the Sea Eagles as PointsBet ambassadors.
Has Allen Iverson changed? Wasn't he with...
Finchie?
Yeah, Finchie doing... Which one were they on?
Was that PointsBet?
I
don't think it was PointsBet. I fucking lose track. There's so many of them.
Look, yeah, it's funny. There's the one that Samuel Jackson's doing, and there's one that... They're fucking everywhere, aren't they? Worth around $5 million, and then balloons by another $2 million for winning premierships, and one of the richest sponsorship deals in rugby league history. And...
fuck, isn't that a joke? Later this week, one of the richest in history is $5 million.
Yeah, for NRL. Yeah,
fucking hell.
I mean, look, it's a small sport comparatively around the world.
The average Sydney sider could sell their house and become the largest sponsor in the history of a sport.
Of course, they would have to live at Brookvale Oval.
In
the sheds. Yeah.
They would have to live at, pick whatever club that they wanted to, because, I mean, if it's the richest deal, it's everybody, So they're saying that, that Paige Spinnerack is tipped to send out a message of support for Manly later this week. Don't you love these engineered things? It's like, oh wow, yeah, Paige Spinnerack's tweeting about Manly, with her delightful personality, pair of personalities. But it's like so engineered. It's like, PointsBet tap her to do some social media work later this week, and then we'll get Shaq doing something later on, I suppose. But look, obviously it's a great deal. Great for the club, and it's been a while since they've it puts things in Lotto Land and fucking that coconut water shit.
What's your stadium called now?
It's Four Pines.
Home of cunts.
Home of fucking delicious beers. It's great. Puts that fucking coconut water shit firmly in the rear vision mirror and where it belongs. And let's hope we never fucking see that sort of shit darken the wonderful Brookvale Oval ever again. What's the fucking PointsBet logo look like? I'm just gonna fucking look it up just so I can see what it looks like.
I think
so,
it's just the word PointsBet.
Just points in one color and in bet and another. Like, it's just red and white or red and black depending on the color it's on. That's good. So yeah, not too obtrusive on the old jersey as well, because that Coco Joy shit was fucking absolutely fucking triggered me, because you'd have like jerseys, for example, the second Marvel jersey, they had like the Daredevil one, which was all like, you know, maroon and gray and black, and it looked fucking awesome. But then on the shoulders, you've got these fucking fluoro green Coco Joy fucking ovals on it. And they're just, yeah. And it's not like the old days with the jerseys you get from fucking, Best and Less and shit, where you could unpick the fucking sewn on patch and fix it. It's all fucking like sublimated into the actual jersey itself. So there's nothing to be done.
Do NFL jerseys have sponsors on them?
No.
Okay.
They do not.
So no American sport has jersey sponsons.
I don't look.
The NBA is only just allowed in the last couple of seasons to have one sponsor in the corner. You know,
that's it. They've got the manufacturer on one shoulder, like one collarbone, and a sponsor on the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
LeBron James had his that said he was the Wish Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
LeBron was what happened when you ordered Michael Jordan on Wish.
So yeah, I'm just thinking baseball certainly does not. NFL doesn't, apart from manufacturer logos and things like that. You know, jerseys being made by Nike and the helmets with Riddell and everything like that. So yeah, off the top of my head, yeah. So America's pretty much clear. I mean, obviously their guys are just, you know, endorsement machines of everything, and it's all sort of personal branding and advertising campaigns personally, stuff like that. But and stadium, you know, and that sort of thing, same as over here. Just, but yeah, I've never really thought of that before. But, and yeah, there's obviously a reason why American sports jerseys, well, the big four anyway, are a lot cleaner, and people wear them more as fashion choices, because they're not advertising anything except the fucking city.
Yeah,
you know. That's it. So, but yeah, good deal, boys. Good job, Mr. Penn, and and I suppose Stephen Humphreys as well. And just add him to the list of people that the West Tigers failed to re-sign. Now, are there any other news stories that you fellas want to talk about? Because I had about 8 tabs open, and I've just gone like close, 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 because they're all just fucking... They're all, this journalist says this, and Matty John says fucking Newcastle need to keep Mitchell Pearce at all costs, and, you know.
Yeah. The fucking distance between actual news and news outlets recycling each other or their own conglomerates, different sections, opinions as news is fucking vast. So
yeah, yep.
There is very little news. What we didn't get this year, though, was remember last year they did the trial of the new rules?
Oh yeah, the final round sort of. That's it. Yeah, and like there was talk that that was something that they may try. What was that fucking bullshit rule that they were going to do? Oh, that's Wayne right. It was seven tackles. Yeah. Yeah, seven Wayne tackle Pierce sets for kicks in play that go over the sideline that aren't 40-20s.
Yeah.
And like that rightfully was shouted down by social media to the extent where by the end of the business day they had distance themselves from ever doing it. And maybe that's why. I bet if that one had have gone through and if people on social media were like going, oh yeah, I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
What a great fucking incentive. Wow. Yeah,
you know what would have happened? It would have been in that fucking Tigers Bulldogs game.
Yeah, that's it.
Who knows? It might have changed the final result, Glennie.
Probably not. Let's be real.
So the Roosters rolled the dice at the judiciary this week, and I think for the first time that I can ever recall, it actually backfired on them. Sam Verrills was looking at a 2-week ban, 1 week with an early guilty plea. So they went in there with the early guilty plea and hoped to get a downgrade, which would have made it end up ultimately being just a fine, and he failed. So now he's got 2 weeks off, and they've got to make the grand final for him to play again.
Yep.
In my opinion, it was kind of weird. Some of the charges that happened out of those games seemed strange. Like some things seem worse than others, and the Verrills one in the judiciary's favour, he did sort of brace himself for contact, and it was just like shoulder to the face, and it would, you know, he would have gone to the bin had it been, you know, May.
Yeah, of
course. Yeah.
But that, yeah, they were happy. It sat comfortably in the grade two vicinity, and Ben Cray, Bob Lindner, and Dallas Johnson upheld the charge.
Jesus.
So,
me dead.
Well, look, Dallas Johnson, that's one man that knows the value of not being tackled in the head. You know what I mean? if you're trying to rub out, you know, foul play, or not necessarily foul play, but yeah, high tackles, yeah. Then
and whilst Dallas Johnson was delivering the verdict, Ben Cray was hiding behind Bob Lindner.
Now, Suaso Sue, he accepted a 2-week ban, and we didn't talk about this on Monday night, but you know, for that leg, that knee twist he put on Blake Ferguson,
yeah,
and so like,
it was pretty ugly looking.
It was ugly.
I mean, man.
And two weeks is probably on the low side for
it's
that.
It's fairly light on, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, he's accepted the 2-week ban, so I imagine that he's probably had another week if he didn't, or if he fought it. But it's good to see that, you know, while some of the high tackle or the high contact, like, you know, like Junior Paulo and Nucore, while some of those escaped with fines, it's good to see that at least they got the worst one of the round, I think, which was that one with Suaso.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, fellas, any other news stories that you want to talk about before we move on?
Nah.
Let's look at some previews for the games this weekend. Only two games to speak of. Deep in the finals, and the episodes are going to get very fucking short. But the first semi-final, Friday night football, the mighty Manly Sea Eagles take on the Sydney Roosters up at the farm in Mackay. And, or it's, you know, it may be a fucking a mine. Who knows? the Manly side. Lachlan Croker has been named to return at hooker, which shifts Lawton to the bench and Curtis Sirenen back out of the 17. The Rooster side, okay, so Verrills is out due to his suspension. I believe that brings Marshke into the side. Marshke was sitting there in jersey number 20. I think he'll come in and he'll be the starting hooker now in the absence of Verrills. Nat Butcher returns. Takeaho is injured and out of the side. All right, Glennie, who you got?
Oh, I have to say Manly. I don't think they'll be as poor as they were last week. I think it'll be the kick in the pants that they really needed. Verrills, yeah, for the Roosters is another blow for them. I don't think it'll be a blowout, though. I think the Roosters will keep it close, but And again, I said in the last episode I've been death riding the Roosters all year, but only because of the injury toll and your retirements and all the rest of it. But I think Manly will be too strong.
Comments, Stepdad?
For the Roosters to progress through this final series, they really needed everything to go right for them. And with the absence of players through injury or suspension, it's just another thing that they've got to overcome. And for them to get to where they did last week against a, you know, admittedly a Titans team that probably overachieved a little bit in that game compared to previous performances, but to have it come down to essentially not being in their control that they won that game.
Mm.
As in, it was the Titans that fucked up that last play.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Roosters shutting it down and winning the game.
Yeah.
They've got points in them, and they've got the ability to take advantage of mistakes. But I think Manly could go out and play the exact sort of mistake-riddled footy they did against Melbourne and still come away with a win against the Roosters.
Yeah, as I said on Monday, the closeness of the game with the Titans was exciting, and as a spectator it was excellent to watch, but it, you know, both of the sides were quite poor at times. Completions were terrible for both sides, under 70% apiece. Yeah. And like, if the Roosters on their right hand defence on Manly's left hand side, if they're going to run out the kind of defence that lets Bo Firma fucking run 80 meters,
yeah,
and almost fucking put a winger away for a match winning try, for starters, if they make that break and it's fucking Tommy Turbo, it's fucking shut the gate. Manly aren't going to need to position a Philip Sammy to try and, you know, score the try. They'll have four or five guys down there waiting to take that, you know, the pass on either side of the ball carrier. But look, we've kind of ruled the Roosters out all year, ever since round two or whenever it was, when they, you know, suffered the first of the, you know, the crushing injuries to Keary, for example.
Yep.
And yeah, they've over the season they've sort of, you know, earned our respect and, you know, stopped us writing them off every sort of week, you know. But
their injured list, their injured players list is a top eight side, maybe top four.
On the Manly side of things, though, I mean, you most definitely learn more from games where you lose, and especially games where it's like really clear where you've lost. And certainly in the case where they probably played against the Storm last week, about the same as they played against the Doggies in that game at Redcliffe, where we were, Glennie. And the difference is, like, you know, they beat the Doggies. They put 36 points on the Doggies in that performance, because the Dogs aren't equipped to you know, punish mistakes and things like that. So I know that the vibe around the club is different. I know that that Desi especially, it's given him a lot of things. Just having that video of Friday night's game has just given him so many tools to fucking wake, you know, players up. And yeah. And I think we'll see a much more focused and clinical Manly side this week. And if Lachlan Croker does make his return, I know he's trained with them and he's seems to be okay. So if he plays as well, then I expect a lot of things on both sides of the ball to click back into place a lot better as well. And yeah. which is only going to be a good thing. And the winner of this one goes through to take on the Rabbits. So I dare say that with Sutton as referee and Klein in the box, and a tantalising East versus Rabbitohs fucking semi-final in the offing, I dare say Manly are going to have to do this game. They're going to have to fucking complete at a very high rate, and their tries are going to have to be all fucking absolutely open and shut cases that cannot possibly have any question over grounding, holding up, offside, or obstruction. Because let me tell you, I mean, the NRL are going to be fucking absolutely salivating at the chance of having East versus South for a place in the grand final. And so Manly have to do they're going to have to be fucking good to get over that as well, because they're not going to get any 50-50s. The second semi-final on Saturday night up at the farm. You flying up to Mackay, stepdad?
No. There are many places in this world that I never want to fucking go to again. And Mackay is one of them.
It's the anti-vax capital of central Queensland. You fucking know it is too, Glennie. Don't shake your head at me, son.
No. It's the way I shake my head that means I agree with you.
But you agree with me, but you can't believe I said it out loud.
Yeah.
I was thinking of going up there, but I've got some stuff to do on the weekend that I can't fly. Like, I could easily get up there for the game, but there's stuff I need to get back for that I couldn't get a flight back in time. So, yeah. Pretty cheap at the moment too, given the way that, you know, with tourism the way it is and everything, it was under $200 there and back.
Fucking drive up, you cat.
I fucking drive. It takes fucking hours to get up there. Like, fucking multiple hours. How long does it take to drive up there?
It's a fucking lovely drive.
How long does it take to drive up there, Glennie?
I'll tell you what. Honestly, you know what?
10 hours. Let's
fucking 10 hours. Fuck your 10 hours. I'm not driving 10 fucking hours.
Let's hire some fucking motorbikes and we'll Harley it up there. We'll do a road trip.
That'd be fucking pretty dope.
Yeah. Get up there, see the footy. Sell off the meth we've carried up there on our bikes.
Can you get me a sidecar?
Imagine the poor fucking kids going next to us going, Jesus Christ, look at that cunt's dog in the sidecar.
It's fucking drilling everywhere. Gee, why was it to put his dick away?
Oh, lipstick.
So, yeah, second semi-final, Saturday night. The Penny Panthers take on the Eels. The Panthers side, Edwards returns at fullback.
Well, fucking specials.
Leota returns to the forward pack. Sorensen back on the interchange, and Spencer Lemieux drops back to reserves, and Charlie Staines, particularly Charlie Staines and Matt Eisen, who drop out completely. And I think that it's not so much that Dylan Edwards strengthens the side with his return, but I think the absence of Charlie Staines does strengthen the side.
Yeah.
And wow, like talk about second year syndrome on a player. He's been pretty fucking ordinary and most of his appearances this season, I think.
Mm.
So what's the deal with Sorensen, Jay? Are you in love with him? He seems to be a very popular in this week, and
yeah,
I don't know whether it's Panthers grasping at reasons for the loss last week, but his absence is something they're really clinging to.
It is that human nature thing where people need something to point at. Right?
Every time you cry,
now,
take a pull your tears. Wrong human nature. Got you.
You are fucking such a disappointment sometimes.
Jesus fucking
Thank
Christ.
You.
Jay says the term human nature and you actually know lyrics.
Out
of all of the references that I make to very popular pop culture, you know, film, television, etc.
I'm a fucking complex individual, I am.
Yeah, do you know what's complex? The fact that
Enlighten me.
The fact that I'm sitting here knowing full well that your iPod contains nothing but the fucking Counting Crows. Like, even if you go to your fucking iPod and go for you and go in there and browse genres and go to electric, it's the fucking remixes of Mr. Jones. Right? It's fucking DJ.
Oh, I feel like I'm in the sidecar again.
DJ Mediocrity.
We just okay music.
And there is, I didn't think there was anything that you could say that would make me think that you had a shitter taste in music than I already thought you did.
And here we are. I fucking proved you wrong again.
Who would have thought it? Look at us. Who would have not me. Fucking hell. No, they're looking for the fucking easy correlation equals causality. This player was not here. This player was there. That is why we lost the game. It's nothing to do with the fact that our halves looked directionless and under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, still executed a fair bit of what they were doing very well. And let's be frank, defended as they have all season exceptionally well.
Mm-hmm.
Like South are a team that go out and just put the sword to most teams they play, and they held them to under 20, even though they were playing like absolute ass. So, in saying that, Sorensen does have a bit of ticker about him without the downside of a Hetherington, you know, to come and give some, well, I'm not even sure Maguire gives any sort of spark, but Hetherington's going to go out there and he's going to try his best to spark something and then all of a sudden he's going to punch someone.
Yeah.
You know? So Sorensen is a gritty player. Put it that way.
Right. So the Eel side, I neglected to go to the Eel side when I brought up Sorensen, but basically McIntyre drops the reserves, Madison is promoted to the interchange, and that's it.
Yeah. Look, the Eels team that Penrith beat a couple of weeks ago was very, very different to what's on now. They had a lot of players rested.
Yeah, dare I say most of them.
Yeah, so
yeah,
yes, they can take some out that they pumped them a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, doesn't mean that much you know, who knows? Maybe just in their own head.
I don't think in the eel's head it's going to mean anything, because they're obviously, you know, their mental narrative is most definitely going to be, well, you know, we sent the Mounties out there.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, none of us were actually playing that game.
Yeah, spot on. Spot on. The same thing as with the Knights, with the Roosters, I guess, that the Parramatta certainly went out there and played a good game of football and put plenty of points on. But for what they leaked and how they leaked it, I'm not sure that defence wins a game against Penrith.
Especially, I mean, those lapses with Blake Ferguson midway through the second half when the Knights started to mount a bit of a comeback, those two tries that Tuala put on Ferguson in the second half were just...
And if Ferguson's having those lapses against Newcastle, pick your target, though. Fucking Jesus.
Yeah, because, Toto and fucking, like...
Crichton and back in the centres,
Burt and fucking, and then Kikau as well, add into the confusing mix of bodies flying at him. I think that the Panthers are going to have an absolute fucking field day if Parramatta give them the opportunity to get down and strike at them from close range, and if their forwards don't step up and sort of smother them the way that they smothered the Storm a couple of weeks ago.
In saying that, though, this is an unfamiliar situation for Penrith. You know, they've lost games this year, but they've always had that excuse in their head. Oh, we had Cleary out. Oh, we had Luai out. We're missing Origin stars, whatever it is. That's the first one this year that they've actually lost with close to a full complement.
Mm.
And they also have the weight of expectation of losing a game that they should have won, realistically, based on troops. And holy fuck, if we fuck this one up, it's a straight sets exit.
And
it's going to take some
mentally, that's a fucking massive hurdle for next year too.
Exactly.
Particularly if the Eels can particularly if the Eels can take a lead of a try or two into the last 20 minutes. I mean, when we thought they panicked against the Rabbits last week when it was, you know, 6 points down after, with 30 minutes to go. Exactly. I mean, when they're looking at, you know, the compounding pressure of straight sets exit and a reasonable, you know, if it's a double digit deficit, then it's going to take something to come back. I mean, personally, I don't think the Eels have the attack in them to build that kind of lead.
And I don't think they have that attack against that Panthers defense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so it should be Penrith's game to win,
mm-hmm.
but they can definitely beat themselves.
Yeah, and look, you know, we did not see them dominating the Storm the way they did a couple of weeks back too. I mean, Parramatta have got a surprising, you know, outing in them.
Yep.
I mean, that's still going to feel like it was almost like their grand final though, but
yeah, that's it.
But we shall find out.
Exactly.
And the winner, of course, goes on to face the Melbourne Storm for a place in the grand final. Exciting news down under. Our friends at Manscaped just launched their fourth generation performance package. The ultimate package includes the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard it right, the 4.0 Manscaped. The leaders in male grooming have done it again to make your grooming game next level. Join the over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the new Performance Package 4.0 by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code TWILNATION.
Now, summer's on its way, and the combination of that and me refusing to stop driving my fucking gigantic gas-guzzling four-wheel drive means that fucking global hotting is real and it's happening. And what I don't want to happen is global stinkiness to fucking increase along with it. So all of you hairy, smelly fucks, hook the package up. Inside the package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the weed whacker for that fucking abomination you call ears and nose, the Crop Preserver ball deodorant, the Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold it all in there, so you've got no excuse for getting rid of that stench holding hair all over yourself.
The fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has 7,000 RPM motor, a new multi-function on-off switch, and can engage the travel lock, which, as I've said before, does stupid people like me, does the head in. gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off so you can see your balls clearly and give them a nice, clean, smooth finish. And did I mention this trimmer is also waterproof? I use it in the shower. You should too.
Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code TWILLNATION at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code TWILLNATION at manscaped.com. Your balls have been through enough this past year. Treat them with the best tools from the job from Manscaped. Okay, folks, let's dive in to a bit of mailbag action. Where the fuck did the mailbag go? I had it and I have lost it. And, oh, did I fucking shut the window like a dumb cunt? Well, that's probably what happened. So let me just bring that one back up real quick. And decent mailbag, a decent number of questions in the mailbag this week. So, and given that we have less games to talk about, then we most definitely can get through some of them.
Nice.
Well, first thing, this is not a mailbag thing, but I just came across. Did you see that this... This 15-part documentary series called Tales of Reinstatement, which is going to be airing across on the South Sydney Rabbitohs website, YouTube channel, and social media platforms, is basically a documentary about about George Piggins setting out to get the Rabbitohs reinstated into the.
Is it narrated by Andrew Denton?
Probably. I mean, he's fucking mad for it, isn't he?
He loves it.
He does fucking I like it when celebrities not only support clubs, but they actually fucking put their, not necessarily their money where their mouth is, but their actions. Rather than just sort of lip service when like a team's winning and you'll see him in a fucking jersey or something like that, and they'll come out of the woodwork. I mean, like, he has always worn the Rabbitohs thing, right in his sleeve, and good on him. Wouldn't surprise me though. I mean, what's he been doing lately? I haven't heard from him in fucking a long time.
Doesn't he have that fucking Hutchins tribute TV show? The one about the rope?
Yeah, I'd still.
Or not? I don't know.
I don't know if he still does or not. That, I think that might be a couple of years ago now. Mailbag. This is fucking great. Ryan has got a great question. I don't know the answer, but I hope the answer is yes. Hello, lads. Is there any truth to the rumours that when teams were playing the Tigers, they were quoting lines from Tiger Town in order to demoralise their opposition? I fucking hope so. Can you imagine Hetherington in the last round of the season?
Find your wife.
Where's your wife? Didn't you find your wife, fellas? Oh, yeah. I don't think you're in the fucking game.
I think my wire's in my fucking fist, and it's about to be in your fucking face.
Yeah. Oh, but that would be my fucking dream to see a player score a try, and the camera's following them around, so they're facing the camera, and you see them looking at the Tigers and going, "There's your fucking why," or something, like that. That you actually can, he picks it up on the microphone.
You told us you were always in a fucking game.
Yeah.
You know what would
be
great? Do you remember the movie Basketball?
Yes.
How they had the psych outs?
Yep.
And you're allowed to do whatever you wanted?
So how would that implement in?
Yeah. Well, so you'd hack one of the Tigers players' phones.
Right.
Get some of the nudes that their missus had sent to them and just get it printed up on your compression shirt under your jersey and then lift your jersey up and go, "I'm going to make your why my why."
Fucking hell.
Stuart says, after taking some unwanted Panthers players in recent years, the talk of the Tigers appointing Cameron Seraldo makes me think of Formula One teams with customer engines. Customer engines only ever gets an F1 team halfway up the grid, but by design will never beat the teams that run the works engines from the same manufacturers. Thoughts, Glenny?
Fair point.
I don't know anything about fucking Formula One racing. I don't care
for it. I understand exactly what he's talking about. He's 100% correct with regards to the engines.
Do you really? Because that would lower my opinion of it.
No, please, please unpack it for people who watch sport and not hobbies, Glenny.
I feel like I've been set up for failure here.
I'm interested to know. I don't understand it. I need you to unpack it for me, Glenn.
So say Mercedes has a full factory team. So
right.
they'll obviously have all the engineering, all the technology and everything, and put a Mercedes engine in their car.
Right.
They will then, some of the privately owned teams that aren't backed by a manufacturer, they will then sub out Mercedes engines to go into their car.
Okay.
But as Stuart points out, the customer engines going into the privately owned teams that aren't factory backed aren't quite to the same specification or horsepower rating or performance level as the ones in the factory cars, because the factory cars can't be beaten by the fucking lesser lights.
So they actively supply them less quality goods, and it's not just like the difference in the actual engineers who built the engine working on the engine.
You're also talking about minute differences making, you know, big minute changes making big differences to times, etc. So
interesting.
Is he actually saying that? I got from that. Yeah, Cameron Ciraldo's great.
But he's great at Penrith. He's not going to be great at the Tigers. He's great
because he's got access to facilities and other coaches and, you know, good players.
Exactly.
And, you know, doesn't have to share with a women's soccer team. is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, you're 100% correct, mate. Let's move on to the next fucking question.
You know, doesn't stretch quads 8 hours a day.
fucking loosest quads. I'll tell you what.
Can you imagine all the fucking ACL injuries from a cunt having to hop around all day stretching his quad? Fucking hell.
Oh, the only thing looser than the quads of the people at the fucking Tigers Centre of Excellence is your anus.
Terry said, is there any truth to the talk that several Manly players have taken up vaping? Is Dez okay with this? He did push Cassiano out the door at the Dogs because he kept sneaking death sticks at training. Well, look, the first thing, I saw the news article that claimed it. I haven't seen anything that actually, you know, says whether it's true or not. But it wouldn't fucking surprise me, because for elite athletes, well, you know, elite-ish athletes that we have in the NRL, you would be fucking surprised to learn the amount of them who just smoke like fucking chimney stacks outside of the game.
Yeah.
Like Blake Ferguson, for example, I've been told, smokes like a fucking, you know, like a lot outside of the game. So look, it wouldn't surprise me, you know, and I don't know anything about vaping. Obviously, stepdad's the vaping expert there, but.
Look, if I was going to say which team has that vaping in their DNA, it'd probably be Manly or Cronulla.
you are going to, you know, whatever you say here is going to tar you with the same brush, you know, right?
No, no. I'm an ex-vaper. Years and years and years. Years and years and years. I used it to give up cigarettes.
And then stopped it to give up having strokes.
Correct. Here's the thing. Michael Jordan won fucking multiple NBA championships chowing down fucking cigars. There's questions around, well,
the long-term effects or whatever.
That's it. I think actual cigarettes, like spark them up and inhale them cigarettes, do a lot to influence lung capacity. I don't know if vaping does.
Yeah.
I don't know whether vaping is just like long-term lung health and not so much pulmonary.
Because even with that lung health sort of thing too, I mean, there's speculation that sort of stuff is really just the cigarette industry as well, trying to hold on to the last vestiges of their business model as well.
You know, how many players are asthmatic and need Ventolin or something else to be able to play?
Yeah, yep.
You know, there are stop gaps available to increase lung capacity, I guess.
That's fine. I did not know that Cassiano was pushed out at the Dogs because he was sneaking cigarettes at training. I thought it was just because he's a fat cunt. but he looks actually pretty good over there in the Super League, though. But yeah, and it's funny though. Like I remember reading it in Beaver's biography that back in the very unprofessional days, you know, sort of in the early 90s where, you know, clubs didn't have like the sports science and everything like that behind them. The Manly players used to do their, you know, their weights and everything at Bozo's, I think. It was like I can't remember what kind of company it was. Like,
don't tell the Cliffy Lyon story again.
But yeah, Cliffy Lyon, I'm just saying it's funny, like, you know, the difference between now and then. And Cliffy was, you know, fuck. I mean, he was smoking durries at halftime.
Yeah, that's it.
Isaac. First thing, Isaac, happy birthday for yesterday. I fucking neglected to wish you a happy birthday on the group, fella. He says, can we fold the Melbourne Storm? Normally we fold shit teams, but the Storm are so far better than the rest of the comp that them folding and dispersing their talent would actually be the best way to even out the comp. Don't be like that. Don't get bitter, get better.
Ooh, I like that one.
Matthew,
heard that before.
Haven't you?
No.
Matthew, just a couple of questions, guys. One for you, Glennie, first. Glenn, who would you like to see coach the Tigers next year and why?
Michael Maguire.
Do you reckon Madge is definitely gone, or do you reckon there's a chance he can fulfil at least the last year of his contract?
The longer it goes with him not having made an announcement, I think he keeps his job. But it'll probably come out. I think the story from the press will be he's been given 4 weeks or 6 weeks to start next year to
show,
you know, like, I think that's what he'll end up with.
See, can I ask you that, your opinions on that? Do you, all things being equal, right, would you prefer them to fuck him off now and give whoever it is a full off season, or give him a full off season in which he is in no way, shape or form going to be able to turn that team around and just waste 4 weeks of next season?
Excellent question. If they are going to fuck him off, and I don't know that they are, then you to give themselves, you know, any hope of turning things around, whoever comes in has to have a full off season, at a bare fucking minimum. So, if they stick with him, then he needs to see out his contract. And I don't know what that means as far as performance or results, but what he pulls out. Given the review, if he keeps his job, I would imagine, I would hope, and I'm not convinced that these conversations would have taken place, but you would hope, given that review, that certain hard conversations would be had with Michael Maguire, given the media speculation, all the rest of it. He deserves that, and if they're not happy or they're not happy with certain elements of his coaching, or then that needs to he needs to be given an opportunity to address that.
Yeah.
If they're going to stick with him. But I don't know. It is Pasco and his little mate, so I don't know. The whole process, you know, and the whole process of an internal review is very self-serving. And if you're reviewing it, the performance of individuals, I don't know that those individuals should be the ones conducting their own review. It seems fucking crazy to me. And in that regard, it seems like a witch hunt for Maguire, which I don't think is fair.
Right. And the question for the two of us, Jay, was who would you like to see the coaches coach the Tigers next year, and why is it Robbie Farah? It creates what I would think you would call the Farah paradox, which is how can Robbie White answer the coach if he's the coach?
The paradox. Yeah, paradox. Write that shit down.
You know what? Black holes circle each other for eons and then finally absorb each other. But so maybe one day Robbie Farah will just fucking disappear in the middle of a press conference. Who knows? Who fucking knows?
And what effect does that have on the overall fortunes of the Tigers?
Boys, we're not gonna worry about finding our why. Fuck that. What we're gonna do is find our burnt schnitzel.
Right. That was it the whole time.
That was it.
That was the problem the whole time. Ryan says, if South somehow go through and win the premiership without Latrell, do you guys think it might finally give him the kick in the ass he needs to alter his level of grubbiness that seems to be growing week after week?
No.
No.
And I don't think he's, like, overly grubby. I mean, he's had his incidents all tend to be of a similar nature in terms of, like, explosive of the moment.
Mm.
You know, like, non sort of premeditated,
yeah,
and you know, not things I'd call grubby. I mean, it's obviously foul play, but it tends to be just like explosive sort of brain snap stuff rather than a huge pattern.
Exactly. I'm going to try and assert some physical dominance here without thinking through. I am fucking three times bigger than this cunt, and I'm not going to employ a proper technique that sees me duck down to hit him in the bread basket.
Hmm.
That's the trail. It's not malicious. He is legit trying to be a hard man.
Yeah.
And executing it poorly.
Or like an inspirational guy by, you know, putting on the, you know, like that's lifting it. The team. Although I dare say, I mean, that's shit with Manu. I mean, the Roosters were coming back at them, but they still were fairly comfortably in front at that point. Brad says, can you guys stop picking on Glenn? I don't pick on Glenn. What are you fucking talking about, Brad?
That is a fucking lie, but I'll fucking cop it. I'm here for it. Fucking bring it
Hang
on.
On.
Bring
is it that on. Is that the fucking old mate tractor wrangler as
no.
well?
No. Do you know okay. Brad O'Kane, Glennie, personally?
No. Tractor wrangler. As in my business partner. Is that who you're talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, yeah.
Wrong Brad. Okay. And I can assure you that in no fucking parallel universe or this one or any situation you could possibly imagine would that guy be telling you to stop picking on me.
Okay, because yeah. that is kind of the podcast equivalent of having your dad ring.
Yeah, exactly. he is very much cut from your fucking cloth, you
most of people that know Glenn in real life that he's brought into the Facebook group or, you know, into the world of the show, they generally delight in shitting on him more than anybody. So
nice,
which is good. Sam says, what's your favorite Norm MacDonald story or joke? Look, I'm not going to do material, but countless things. What I will do is I will reply to your comment and paste the YouTube links, but for people, so people can actually, they don't have to go hunting them down. But the number one by far is, and it was probably the thing that made me fall in love with him, was the way he destroyed Courtney Thorne-Smith when she was a guest on Late Night with Conan O'Brien in about 1997, about her and Carrot Top was fucking sensational. And he had the long, convoluted fucking jokes that he used to do with, you know, little to no payoff. For example, the Dirty Johnny joke about his Uncle Terry in the hatcheries, the joke about the moth, a joke about the Professor of Logic, fucking what else? Get his book, based on a true story, not a memoir, which is fucking an excellent book as well. Yeah, I fucking love the guy. And yes, I was not happy to hear of his passing this morning. Let me tell you, this year has been an absolute cunt of a year fucking for that sort of thing. Well, not for that sort of thing.
Technically, with him, 9 years ago was a cunt of a year.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But, 9 years and onward.
Yeah.
I tell you, fucking death is fucking surrounding my world this year. I've fucking had enough, eh? James. He's talking about that Breakfast Club category that he wants added to the Twillies. And at the time I asked for more clarification on, you know, like what are the criteria for such an award. And he's saying it's the teams that are guilty of the most egregious dumb shit on and off the field. Likely nominations, for example, the Dragons. They had the barbecue, Jack DeBellin, the Jack DeBellin women in league fuck up, the Jack DeBellin nearly being the captain fuck up, Corey Norman for his last touch for the club, the West Tigers, in his words, going full Madge McCann in every meaningful game this year, kneeled by the Bulldogs, Tiger Town. If people think that that's a category they want in there, by all means, let us know and we can add it. Because we are definitely not averse to adding new categories to the Twillies each year and expanding the... And I guess we'll just have to have a look at the categories we've got as well and see if it's like too similar... Or sort of, you know, covers the same ground as potentially another one, maybe. Dale says, he's a recent member to the Facebook group, actually. He said, if Adam Reynolds lifts the trophy on grand final night, will you stop calling him injury prone?
No, because he'll fucking hurt himself doing it.
I actually replied and said he'll probably miss the grand final through injury. But yeah. But look, that's
this is like that time Josh Dugan decided to run at everyone for calling him out and going, I'm not soft. I don't miss games through injury. And then someone actually did the maths on him.
Yeah, yeah.
And was like, cunt, you've played 6 minutes on average every game.
but also, I mean, it's like, you know, you've got guys like Ben Hunt playing like fucking half a game plus on a broken leg.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then you've got Dugan withdrawing from a game because he had a fucking boil on his ass or something.
Yeah, and not participating in a match due to general soreness.
General soreness. What a great, yeah. Oh. I believe that's an old episode title, isn't it? Yeah.
Do we give him a full military funeral for that one?
21 cruiser salute.
By that, I just mean Nate and I can wear our jackets while we say fuck off.
Finally, Shane. So the Rabbits have ambushed the Panthers by playing tough defensive footy. With Skeletor giving them belief and getting them peaking at the right time, have they become second favourite for the premiership behind the Storm now?
Fucking Jesus.
Look, by virtue of the fact that there's, you know, by necessity, there's two sides to the draw to give you two grand final combatants, I guess probably. I mean, obviously the Panthers have still got to be up there, right? But you know...
Bookies would surely still have... And a quick glance at the odds may prove me wrong immediately, but surely Penrith is still second favourite, surely.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd imagine that they'd be super highly favoured this weekend against the Eels, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Not having the odds in front of me, though. I should have thought about that when I was looking at the tipping. And speaking of tipping, we'll do that now. It was 1 point between first and 10th last time. It spread out a little bit, but Sumbak is number one by 1 point. 1 point back, we've got Drew's drop kicks, Doohig, and the old ESPN fan who didn't change his fucking handle, change it, bitch. Ben Diggity, M. Jonesy, Chev Mate, Mitch Rich. And then we go back one more to Mr. Bojangles and Dan Glenn Wang. I don't know if that's a
damn Glenn's Wang at all. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a reference to you or if it's literally someone who just put their two dad's name in there as their username. So look, it's coming down to the end now. If anyone wants to make some moves to win, it's gonna really, you know, you got probably 2 weeks to do it because once you know you're not gonna catch it. if you're behind on grand final day, you know you're not gonna probably get that outright win for yourself. That is full time for episode 434. Thanks for listening, everyone. To find links to our various social media communities, Patreon and more, head to thisweekinleague.com/links. If you'd like to support the show, make sure you drop us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend, bring a friend into the Facebook group. You can find our Patreon at patreon.com/twillnation. Come in and join the fun, additional episodes and more. And should be getting some members merch coming in pretty soon, actually. It's been a couple of weeks since I checked up on that. So fucking exciting, boyos. That's it, fellas. Do you guys have anything you would like to add before we pull the pin on this one?
Not at all.
No, thank you for
bring
asking.
Bring on the weekend. Bring on the weekend.
Bring on the weekend. Have a highly successful weekend. And as we hopefully take our steps towards an ultimate Manly Penrith Grand Final.
That's it.
How fucking good. Because for both of us to get there now, we both got to kind of go against the odds.
That's it.
To even get there. So fucking bring it on. And let's hope that we can both safely navigate the treacherous conditions on the farm and avoid fucking gopher holes and shit.
Yeah.
Ruling out our stars for
Please no ACLs. Please no ACLs.
I don't even want damn syndesmosis. I want nothing. I don't even want general soreness. None of that shit.
But will you be vaccinated?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course. I don't understand. I thought we established
it's very important to be vaccinated in Mackay or not. Who's whatever?
Well, yeah.
Can you be vaccinated against rape?
Oh, Jesus.
What have you heard about Mackay? You sort of made quite a jump from freedom rallies to being raped.
Raped by disease.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, of course. Of course. That's it, boys. I'll be talking to you guys on Sunday night.
That you will.
Later.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.